Because if you didn't have your doing that volunteering, oftentimes quietly, all the time, but the praise and recognition, we wouldn't have a piece of tabernacle. And we would have to be, we have to rely on corporate sponsorship. Kind of like the way the ball stadiums, you know, the way the ball fits up where back is now. We don't want that. If you want that, I mean, it'd be something like this. A piece of tabernacle.
time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to cry and a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So all of us, we face this interesting life of contrast. We've had all of these things in our life, have we not? And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the seasons of life today, a little perspective. So let's examine the seasons of life. We'll start off with winter, summer, and fall. We're going to talk about all of them. Let's start off, though, with winter, okay? And there's many winters that come in life, are there not? How about losing a job? Man, that could be such a bummer. Man, you talk about something personal, right? I don't care who you are. You lose your job. I don't care if it's just a mass layoff or anything. Not your fault. It is depressing, right? How about a divorce? Boy, that's a tough one, right? A kind of a winter. How about a serious illness? How about a serious health problem? I mean, I know I look healthy and strong, but I'll tell you what, I got scars from the bottom of my neck, top of my neck to the bottom of my feet. I've been there, okay? It is a bummer. Serious illness is a tough one. It's a winter. How about death? Sooner or later, all of us face that personally. We face it with a spouse. We face it with a grandparent, a parent. We must look at death right in the eyes. It's a winter. It's a sad thing. Here's one I think many of you have been through. It's a type of winter. How about a church that fragments and self-destructs? You've been there? Boy, that's disillusioning. Makes you wonder on God even a little bit, right? We've been there. And it's a type of winter. It's not the end, but it can be very, very tough. So I want to offer some keys to surviving winter, okay? And the key to winter is this, and there's probably a winter in your life right now in some area, and that is this: never believe that it's always going to be this way. I think the devil wants to whisper in our ear a little bit. It's always going to be this way. Woe is you. Woe is me. It's never going to change. Okay? That's not true. That's a lie. One of the hopeful things we're looking for here at the Feast of Tabernacles is that better day when there will be no more crying, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow. It's not always going to be this way, okay? So don't believe that. And the other thing is, when you're going through winter, don't be dismayed. Be curious. So when I'm stuck on the 91 freeway in Los Angeles and I'm late for my flight, I live in Montana, but I've been around Los Angeles a lot. And don't be dismayed when you're late and there's a million cars on the freeway and it's not moving for like an hour on end. I used to get mad. I used to get really mad. But now I just get curious. I go, isn't it amazing? There's a million cars on the freeway. They don't move. So don't be dismayed. Be curious in all these avenues in winter, all right? But the lesson of Ecclesiastes is this: everything is temporary. And that goes for the bad times too. Okay, have faith in that. Now, you can't change the seasons. You can try to wish the winters away, but that doesn't really help, okay? You're going to have to endure. He who endures the end, right? But it's something you can change during the winters. You can't change the winter, but what can you change? You can change yourself. A lot of good things can go on in winter in your life. And you can change yourself. And a farmer, even in winter, he's repairing the barn and fixing fences and sharpening his tools. There's always something to do. Work on yourself. Change yourself when things are bad. And you'll feel a sense of self-respect, too. A little bit of a handle. So winter is a time to dream, to imagine more, to think of the possibilities of a new start. and a new life. And think of the kingdom of God. Think of that too. But even here temporally, there's the possibilities for a new beginning. And also remember this, that in order for seed to bear fruit, little seeds, it has to die. It has to die in order to germinate and to flower into things. In some sense, we have to die. And that could be a good thing. No, I don't mean all the way, right? But there are elements of you, are there not, that need to die. Don't fight that. So this isn't the real war, this life. This is just spiritual boot camp. And never forget that this is just basic training. This is not the real battle, folks. This is not the real status of life and all that. This is just boot camp. The real war, it's coming after the return of Jesus Christ, okay? We're training. That's all. We're just training right now. We're not done yet. Don't evaluate yourself and say, man, I didn't get this. I didn't do that. I didn't accomplish this. I'm getting gray hair, you know. Hey, your experience is vital for what the real war that's coming ahead that we're going to, you know, I use the word war, but the real adventure, if you will, that is going to happen in our eternal destiny. Next up, let's talk about spring. And there's many springs in life. It's an exciting time. Spring's a very exciting time. The time of planting, right? But what are some of the springs we have in our life? How about getting married? That's a spring. It's a new beginning. It's a start. Everybody's excited at a wedding. How about having a baby? So much hope, so much desire, so many dreams, having a child. How about you graduated from college and now you're starting on a new career? Or you're just starting a new job anyway, right? It's just some new avenue. That's exciting. It's a spring in your life. How about being baptized? That's a type of spring. It's a type of new beginning, is it not? The seed of the Holy Spirit joining with you. It's a type of spring. But the big lessons in spring is this. You got to see it through. You can't just plant and then walk away. You can't just build a foundation, right? You lay the concrete and okay, and you walk away. That's not going to work, folks. A lot of people are really good at starting stuff and just walking away. You're going to have to stick it through, man. You got to go through. You can't just plant in spring and then split. You can't just say, boy, it was great getting married. We had fun. We had a big party and we looked good and all that. And then next thing you know, it's like, I'm not coming home at night. That doesn't work, folks. And you can't just drop a kid. Pardon me for putting it that way. I'm from Montana. I drop a calf, drop a kid. But anyway, you can't just drop a kid and they go, well, just let him run wild. He'll be fine. He'll grow up and everything will be cool. No, you got to get involved. You got to work it through. So it takes a commitment in spring that you're going to see it all the way through to harvest. Okay? Don't just plant. Don't just start. See it through. Okay? And there's the parable of the sower. We won't turn there. Matthew 13. You know, he throws the seed out there. Some of it doesn't even start. Falls on hard ground. Falls on the cement. Some of it grows for a little while, right? Even gets a little green, and then it dies. Gets choked out. Don't get choked out. You want to be the seed that takes root, goes down deep, can find the water, get the sunshine, and endures. No growing for a while, and then drying up on the hard ground, right? So I'm going to give you a secret. I'll give you a secret about spring. And that is this, what's the fertilizer of spring? I will say it's love. Love is the fertilizer that lets spring grow. I'll give you some examples. How many of you plant flowers or different plants? Anybody? Show of hands. Let's see that. Yeah, very common thing. Terry knows I'm getting older because I look at flowers now. You know, you know, as a guy you're getting older. Look at the pretty birds and the pretty flowers. But anyway. But here's the thing. I give love to flowers. Guess what? They get up there, and you know what they say? The flowers are going, look at me. Look, at me. I love the flowers. I fertilize them. Look at me. And your kids. What happens when you love your kids? Right? They're jumping in the pool. And you know what they say? Daddy, daddy, look at me, look at me. Because if you love them, that's what they say. And they draw some crazy painting with psychedelic colors on there. Daddy, look at me. Right? That is how you fertilize spring, is with love. You give love, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get, look at me, you're going to get things that appreciate it, and they grow. It is the secret ingredient, folks. Things start in spring, and they grow with love. Let's move over to summer. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which the ant, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in summer and gathers her food for the harvest. And what amazing creatures these ants are, aren't they? They're incredible. They can lift 10 times their weight. They're tough little guys. They don't give up. You ever have them invade the house? It's almost impossible to get rid of those guys, right? And I will confess, though, I did not always appreciate ants. I was a little boy once. Men will understand what I'm about to say. Women, close your ears because you will not understand. There is a difference between men and women. I know that's not a popular idea, but little boys will understand this. When I was a little boy, I used to go and steal my mom's Aquanet, light a match, go out there to the ants. See, the men, there's men laughing because they've done this. Right? You know, how about firecrackers? You get the M80 and the firecracker, blow up that ant mound, right? And or you do magnifying glass hunting. You go out there with the sun, you know, and you kind of wing them a little bit, right? Yeah, people are nodding. And then you zero in for the kill, you know what I'm saying? Right? And again, women, men are weird. We need you. It's not a put down on women. We need you to rescue us from idiocy like this. But anyway, I apologize that I had a holocaust. I did a holocaust on the ant world at one time. I've repented. All right? I give them credit. And I ask for forgiveness for my heinous crimes. But what do ants think in summer? I know because I interviewed one for this sermon. Here's what he told me. He said, winter's coming. Winter, winter, winter. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Work, work, work. And when things are going well, you've got to think winter. All right? You got a job down at the factory and doing great. Yeah, take some of those accounting courses on the side just in case, right? You got to be thinking there may be a winter. Okay. You're feeling good? Hey, keep working out. Drinking that green smoothie stuff, all right? Force it down. But no, when the stock market's doing good, it's not going to stay that way. Your house is doubled in value. It's not going to stay that way, folks. You got to think winter. When things are good, you've got to realize it doesn't always last. You've got to be like the ant and think about winter, all right? And you've got to be patient in summer. It's not the time to quit. You've got to hang in there. And you got to partake of a lot of water in summer, do you not? It gets hot. You know, the underwear is kind of riding up and it hurts. And you got to drink a lot of water. And what is the living water? What is the living water? It's Jesus Christ. So when it's hot and when you've got to keep plugging away, drink the living water. Let's move on to fall, the harvest, the big payoff. And what are some of the harvests? How about retiring? Worked a long career, 40 hours a week for 40 years, right, or more. How about winning the championship? I've had a couple of those. I finished on last place teams a couple of times. This makes having the championship be all that much sweeter, right? More importantly, how about that crown from Jesus Christ? That is a great harvest. That is something worth striving for. And it's okay to enjoy the fruits of your labor. It's okay that year you want to have a nice meal or, you know, something special. That's good. It's okay to celebrate a little bit. It's part of the seasons of life. But the lessons of the Feast of Tabernacles is this. It's all temporary. It's all temporary. It is just a temporary shelter. We have several of those in our life, do we not? How about the womb? That's kind of a tent. That's kind of a sukkah, right? You're in there. And you know, when you're being born, you ever thought about this? Here it's all nice and warm and you're floating around and no job. It's great. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're getting squeezed. And you know what you're thinking? I imagine this, that a baby thinks it's dying. The baby's terrified. They come out crying. They're getting squeezed on. Their whole world is getting destroyed. And yet it is an opportunity for an incredible adventure called life. And so those of us as embryos in Christ, if you will, we're going to have to go through a birth crisis. It's going to feel bad. It's going to be tough. We may have tough times ahead, brethren, right? Don't be dismayed. It's darkest before the dawn, just like it was for that little baby, okay? How about your body? That's just a tent. It's getting older. Mine's getting older. Starting to hurt a little bit. It's just a temporary dwelling place. The entire universe, you know, I'm an amateur astronomer. I look at the canopy of the sky. It looks like a tent, almost, if you can imagine that, right? Even that has entropy. It's dying, slowly running out of energy. Someday we'll have to redress it and keep it moving forward, all right? Because there's only a limited amount of energy even out there in that entire incredible universe, all right? So it's entropy. Heat is dispersing. So it's all temporary. So I want to encourage you then, since it's all temporary, right? It's all going to be gone. To practice creative destruction. Much of your life is going to vanish. All our vain ways, our vanity, lust, and greed, it's going to be gone, folks. It's going to be forgotten. Don't let chance then decide what's going to be destroyed out of your life. Embrace creative destruction. Because there's some things that you don't get to take with you. It's not going to last. There's certain sin in your life. I'm encouraging you to let it go. Use this chance that you're in a new environment, a fresh environment, away from your bad habits, away from bad association, to embrace some change because you're not going to take some things with you. Are you looking at wrong things on the internet? Is that a problem for you? Drinking, carousing, all the other sins that are there that lead to eternal death? Destroy it. Get it out of your life now because you're not going to be able to take it with you, okay? Use this feast as an opportunity for a fresh start. That's my encouragement to you because it won't last anyway. And now for the conclusion of the matter. What transcends the seasons? What is above the seasons of life? It's the character that you can develop in this life with the help of God's Holy Spirit. That is what is eternal. That is what's going to stay. How about love that you can develop? And the friends that you can make and keep. And what did Jesus say about this? John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay his life down for his friends. And let's end with some of Solomon's concluding thoughts in Ecclesiastes. He kind of wrapped it up. This is a man who lived everything, right? He drank and he built projects and he had, 666 concubines or something crazy like that? And did it all, sampled it all, took the seized candy of life and did every one of them, right? Here was his conclusions of the matter. He said this, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life. And let it not be said that while you were here at the feast, you guys had a fight. It goes on. We've been there. Terry and I have had that. You're driving long distances and all that. You're fighting in the car. And then you show up at church. Hi, everybody. It's Donnie and Marie. We're the happy Christian couple, right? Meanwhile, back in a car, you know, I wish I'd never met you. All right. Don't do that here. Don't rub each other the wrong way. You got some time together, enjoy it, all right? Love each other. Because Solomon said that's about as good as it gets. The other thing he said is that enjoy the work of your hands. So if you like doing the gardening, you like waxing the car, whatever it is, enjoy that. It's about as good as it gets, friends, in this life, all right? So finally, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Never put them out of your mind. Never run from them. Don't try to drown it out. Fear God and keep his commandments. So I'm glad you're enjoying the feast. But let's move forward with a new adventure and new challenges, embracing the seasons, both as individuals and as those of us in the image of God, and for those of us as a very unique brotherhood.